What's up, Wichita Wind Surge fans, and welcome back to another episode of the Surge Cast. I'm your host. My name is Scotty Gurman, and alongside me, as usual, is none other than the voice of the Wichita Wind Surge, Mr. Tim Grubbs.
Hey, it's been a while.
It's been a minute, man.
We did this, I think, right around the holidays.
Yeah,
we did
like
an end of the year special, and we said we'd be back in spring training, and here we go. Ready for season three.
Yeah, I know. Baseball's on TV again. I'm loving every minute of it. It's nice.
It's cool to watch the WBC because spring training games.
Yeah, not as fun.
Not as fun. Well, yeah. There's so much change.
Yeah.
You know, you got the first two, three innings, their names you know.
Yeah.
And then there's, for us minor league people, then we start to know names. But if you don't know the organization, if they're a team that's not in our league, you have no clue.
Like, yeah. And if you've been living under a rock, the WBC is the Wichita, the World Baseball Classic.
Or the Wichita Brewing Company.
Yeah, Wichita Brewing Company, exactly. No, the World Baseball Classic, which is going on, I think this is the first time it's been on since 2017 when Team USA won it.
It's every 4 years.
Okay.
But I think because of COVID.
Yeah, they nixed
there's
it last
been
year.
Some
that makes sense.
There's been some delays, and yeah. Obviously, I think it's every. It's just like the Olympics, except it's in different years.
That's
I'm
awesome.
Pretty sure it's every four, but I do know there was a screw up because of COVID, right? Not a screw up, but a delay,
right?
And so it's this year, and it's been fun.
It's
and
awesome.
And the Wind Surge have seven representatives,
yeah,
five players,
mm-hmm.
two coaches,
yep.
Our manager Ramon Borrego, former pitching coach Luis Ramirez, are both. Part of the coaching staff for Venezuela.
That's awesome. That's so cool.
We've got guys with Australia, Puerto Rico, the Dominican Republic.
Aaron Whitefield, man.
Yeah.
Go good for him, man. I think it's just so cool because now it's like, I mean, he's actually playing for a national team, and I think he was playing for the Trash Pandas last that I checked.
He did play a handful of games last year in the big leagues with the Angels.
Okay.
But he did start the year with the Trash Pandas.
Yeah.
Went to Anaheim or LA, the Angels, and then went back to the Trash Pandas, got hurt, spent a lot of time on the injured list. So it's great to see him on the big stage.
Absolutely. It's just really cool now, especially because you're right. When we talk about these guys in spring training, I mean, this is kind of like the workup to the beginning of the season where it starts getting really exciting. But now, because we have the WBC, we actually get to see all of the star players playing preseason, quote unquote, baseball. You know what I mean?
Yeah, with something on the line.
Exactly.
You know, not just a job
right.
like you do when you go watch spring training.
Yeah.
They're just kind of going through the motions. So.
I just think it's so cool. You see Mike Trout and Mookie Betts in the outfield on the same team. That's so awesome.
Yeah, it's
That's
really
so
cool.
Neat.
And it's fun. I mean, I wish, you know, and everybody bashes baseball for certain things, but games starting at 9 o'clock at night, you would
That's
think
not that, fun.
Come on. Like, you know, I mean, I mean, I'm not going to be negative, but
sure.
I think there are ways where they could have helped us out.
Oh, for sure.
For better viewership, especially on when the tournament's not going on, when you're competing against, what, an NIT game or whatever.
Sure.
Why couldn't you have had it in a better slot?
Absolutely. But, yeah, it's pool play right now, and so I believe they're actually at four different locations all over the world, if I remember correctly. And so, yeah, just trying to make it to where, even on different channels, but it's mainly, I think, a channel thing. I think it's
probably
contracted by Fox, if I remember
TV
correctly.
TV dictates everything. We always know that.
Yeah, exactly. So, but anyways, we got the World Baseball Classic, which is extremely exciting for me. And I'm just glad just because baseball's coming. That's basically your heads up of, all right, baseball's on its way back.
It's on its way back. Riverfront Stadium will be... in full force on March 28th. Wichita State will play its annual game there against the Oklahoma Sooners. So that'll be the opening of the ballpark for this year so fans can come out and see it. And then a couple weeks later is the opening of the Wind Surge on April 11th. We open on the road in Springfield, play three games there, and then come home to take on Northwest Arkansas, the Royals affiliate.
So, and it's April 11th?
April 11th.
So there's little birdie told me that place is going to be packed.
So our new team president, say new old team president, Jay Miller, who came back with the ownership switch since the last time we spoke.
Right.
We were being sold, but we didn't know a lot of details the last time we were on the pod. Jay is back, and his goal, because this is to be like a reopening opening. You know, he wasn't here for opening day.
Right, exactly.
He was there for the groundbreaking.
Mm-hmm.
He was there for the home plate ceremony. He was there for the team unveil name of the Wind Surge. He has checked off a lot of the boxes and then he left.
Right.
And now this is his opening day of the opening of Riverfront Stadium. So he wants to make it a big deal. And why not? It's a new era. We've got a lot of discounted prices.
Yeah.
You know, we changed a lot of things with concessions, changed a lot of things with ticketing, got rid of some taxes, and he's going to be back, and well, he is back, and he wants to pack the ballpark on opening night.
Absolutely.
I'm really looking forward to it. We did a special the other day on Pi Day.
Yep.
Where you could buy tickets for $3.14 for the berm for opening day, and we sold a bunch.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
I'm sure. And I've met Jay. I've hung out with Jay. Jay's a good dude. I really do like him. I like his company. I like his baseball mind. He's got a lot of fun stories about being in the baseball industry for a long time.
He's been in baseball 40 years exactly. or so, and yeah, he knows what he's doing.
That's right. So it's not going to be a whole lot of difference, in my personal opinion. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to always be going to the ballpark, enjoying baseball, and I'm so excited. And I'm going to be able to be out at the stadium a lot more this year than I was last year. So I'm
I'm really excited because he's re-energized the community.
Yeah.
We're doing specials on happy hours. So when the gates open from, like, say it's a 7:05 game, from 6 o'clock to 7 o'clock, we'll have $5 drink specials at the game. Thursday nights, Thursday, it's $2 beers.
Heck yeah.
$2 12-ounce domestics.
Nice.
And then Hot Tuesdays is dollar hot dogs, nice. Which opening night is dollar hot dogs
There you go.
So I think we may maybe try to crush a record for most hot dogs consumed in the state of Kansas in a given
3-hour
period. So
we'll
see what happens. I don't know what the record is for that, but
we'll look it up.
We'll look it up. If we get great weather and you get 8,000, 9,000, 10,000 people in the building and you're buying dollar hot dogs and everybody buys two or three, just do the quick math. That's a lot of hot dogs.
Yeah, man. And that's actually kind of what I was going to say is just pray for great weather because that's kind of the curveball in the mix. Is whether or not we get some, you know, Kansas moody weather or not.
Yeah, well, we both here live in Kansas, and it was 70 degrees last week, and it was 12 degrees the other day. So, you know, I mean, I don't know what, you know, and it's hard to, I'm not going to bother to forecast what it's going to be like on opening night.
Right.
But it would be certainly awesome if it was 70 degrees and sunny.
Yeah. Well, let's go back to spring training a little bit. So we're obviously in that part of getting guys to eventually be wind surge guys, which we don't know who those guys are at this
point. And it's not this we don't know. Nobody
knows pretty much. Yeah.
So it's kind of a weird spring training with the big guys being in the WBC representing all types of countries. So everybody's kind of, a lot of people are elsewhere, not really at spring training in Fort Myers or wherever. That's where Wind Surge spring training is part of the Minnesota Twins. So that's where we are. So obviously when these guys all get back, when the WBC ends or as their teams lose, the Twins will start determining who's on their major league roster, which a lot of that can be already determined. The big league roster of the most of the roster, I'd say 80-90% of the big league roster for the Twins is determined. And then you figure out who slots into AAA and then who goes to AA and who goes to CR and who goes to Fort Myers. And it all falls into place. So there's still a lot up in the air. There are some knowns for the most part.
Right.
If there's no injuries and everything's online, a lot of the guys who ended the year with the wind surge last year, maybe not were with us at the early part of the year. Guys that joined us midway through, a guy that joined us late in the year last year, Brooks Lee, a first round pick, would be projected to be here. Mm-hmm. He hasn't done enough to go to AAA yet.
Right.
So I would imagine he's here at least for a couple of months. A lot of guys, Denny Bentley and Brent Hedrick and Cody Lawyerson and those types of guys who joined us midstream last year as pitchers, I think there's a good chance that they could start the year with us. So there's a really good possibility that you will know half the roster on opening day because they were with us late last year. And I hate to throw names out there because I don't want people to quote me on that.
Right.
But I'm just kind of using some examples. And positions like catcher, there's only one catcher every night.
Yeah.
So, you know, so an Alex Isola or whatever, which had a pretty good year, but he also had some injuries, probably deserves to be at AAA. But at the same time, there's four or five other catchers he's competing with.
Yeah.
So there's a good chance he could be back. And I don't know if Jair Camargo, who will be back. Aaron Sabato, who was with us late last year as a first baseman, was a first round pick of the Twins a few years ago. I would think that he's here. So
for sure.
I think we got some good talent coming our way. We've been very fortunate
with
the Twins. back-to-back years playoff runs and losing in the champion. You're not fortunate of that.
Yeah.
But the fact that you've made it to the championship back-to-back years, that's an incredible era.
Yeah, being the bridesmaid does kind of stink, but it's still awesome. It's still a really, really awesome thing to be able to participate in a championship game.
I think what stinks is we've seen the championship trophy be presented at Riverfront Stadium
both times.
Back-to-back years.
Gosh, that does kind of
I can tell you right now for a fact that will not happen this year.
Oh, yeah?
Because it alternates.
Oh.
North and south. So even if we make it to the championship again, we would host game one of the championship.
Oh.
Games two and three would be at the Southern City. So
okay.
I already can tell you that era is going to run.
Okay.
That it's going to end. But no, very exciting. Hopefully we can get back and have another great year.
Gotcha. And you did, you touched on a lot of things. I know that everything, like the fireworks and stuff like that, is still going to be on a Friday.
Fireworks
like that.
Friday. I mentioned the dollar hot dog deal.
We'll still
have the Dillon's buy one, get one ticket deal on Tuesday.
Yeah.
Wednesday is a half price group ticket thing. So if you're buying 20 tickets or more, you get them for half price.
Nice.
Thursday.
Oh, sure.
Saturday's a lot of giveaways and stuff. Sunday's kids' day. Kids get to run the bases and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah. I did actually have a question for you because last time we were talking about rules and rule changes and things like that. Because now, obviously, I think in the MLB, you got the bigger, larger bases.
So most of the rules we had last year are now the rules in the big leagues. So anybody that followed the win surge at any type of regularity, they see all the stuff in spring training and hear all the complaining or hear all the compliments because it's got more complaints. Nobody likes change.
Yeah.
But they're all used to it. There's no difference than what we're used to. So
yeah.
It's fun to watch. And I think Major League Baseball's tinkered with it. I think they've kind of figured it out. And we'll see what it's like on the big stage when you got guys who've been playing baseball their entire career without these set of rules. Now, keep in mind, probably 60% of the big leagues, these guys have played with the pitch clock.
Right. That's what I was
getting. Only the old guys. It's the Max Scherzers, the Justin Verlanders. Uh-huh. And they're the ones that are making the gripe because they've been in the big leagues for 10 plus years and never have experienced this. But there's a lot of guys that have.
Right. I was just getting ready to say that you see all of these guys. I think it was maybe the first or second time this season that somebody got penalized for either not getting in the batter's box or, you know, calling a ball or whatever the case may be. But all of these younger guys that have been in the minors their whole career and are playing spring training are it's almost automatic for them. They don't even have to worry about the pitch clock because they're so used to it. It's just muscle memory at that point, and they're in their rhythm, which
and
is
I
before
will
the
say,
pitch clock.
I will say this, you know, everybody's learning, including the operators of the clock.
Oh, yeah.
One of the violations that I saw earlier this year on highlights, I wasn't watching the game live, I think the clock operator was in the wrong.
Oh,
and
yeah?
The umpire is at the, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He doesn't know if the clock started early unless he catches it.
Right.
But I had noticed that the clock, and those guys are learning. Our guys that we've got a rotation of three guys here in Wichita that do it. A lot of them are former umpires, so they got a feel for the game.
Yeah.
That they're operating the clock, and it's, you know, they're keeping an eye on when the game resumes, and they hit it, and there's a feel to it. But I did see a couple of mistakes, and that's going to happen early in the year. And the good thing is it's spring training.
Yeah.
And hopefully that the big league clock operators are ready to roll come the end of this month.
Do you know about the automated strike zone? Do you know if it's going to eventually move up into AA anytime soon?
I do not know. It's a AAA completely this year.
Last year I heard.
Was halfway in. There's a lot of technology. Even though we have a lot of those computers at our ballpark and Riverfront, there are some additional ones. That it's an expense. Major League Baseball pays for that stuff. So there's I think that's part of the reason why we don't have it at AA yet.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But so if you notice where it is, it's now completely in AAA. It's at all the spring training facilities. So if there's single A teams like Fort Myers in our league, they have it.
Okay.
And they have it because they're at a spring training facility.
Yeah.
Now they do not run it every game.
Oh.
It's always there for data purposes.
Sure.
But they have six-game series just like us. So on Tuesday, Wednesday, the umpires call the games as we see it, the old-fashioned way.
Right.
On Thursday and Friday, they do use the complete, it takes over.
Yeah, yeah.
And then on Saturday and Sunday, they have a challenge system.
Oh, nice.
So the umpires call it normal, but the hitter, pitcher, or catcher can challenge it. You get three challenges a game.
Yeah.
So you've got to be, you're going to think about it. It's like the, we're all football fans, so yeah. We know what the NFL is like. The last thing you want to do is challenge something in the first quarter, and
right.
then the game's on the line with 2 minutes and 20 seconds left, and you're out of challenges. So you better be a little bit questioning
yeah.
when you challenge.
Well, and the other thing is I don't know if I said it on this show or not, but I'm a changed man on this one.
I'm completely changed. I'm a purist by heart.
I am too.
If you heard an interview from me 5 years ago when I was still in New Orleans, I was all against all of this stuff. And now almost every one of the rules, I'm 100%. The anti-shift, the bigger bases.
That's the only one. That's the only one I'm not sold on.
I'm all for it. And I think part of me is because, I mean, I obviously see how football's different than it was when I was growing
up.
I see how basketball's different than I was growing up. And not all the sports are better.
Yeah.
But I think sometimes because the guys are bigger bodied and stuff like that.
Sure.
I think sometimes there needs to be some change. And baseball just, it's the shift. The reason why I'm all for the anti-shift is because it just got too much non-contact. You know what I mean? There wasn't a lot of hitting, wasn't a lot of action. Guys were waiting to hit the home run. And that's why I think now that I've seen it for a year, because we've only seen that rule for 1 year in the Texas League, I'm behind it a little bit because I think there's more hit and runs and a lot more stolen bases and moving guys over.
Sure. I think, and I guess if those people that, I mean, may not know me as well, I am definitely a baseball purist. I do not like the DH. It's against the rule book. There's only nine players.
You know what's funny is I don't like the DH. I was upset last year when they got rid of it.
Yeah, that's one big thing with me. But I will say this, the automated strike zone, I am now changed. I have seen it in action. I've seen it, the challenges and stuff. And a lot of people are like, come on, don't challenge balls and strikes. No, it is very quick. It is very fast. It's almost as if you don't even notice. I mean, you notice, but it's not bad at all.
Well, and there were some calls and some games last year at the big league level.
Yeah.
You saw it, and obviously they've got all these great cameras, and you're like, how is that a strike? You know?
Yeah.
And that's determining games, and obviously I don't know if you saw what went viral the other day. There was a college baseball game where there was a ridiculous
call, third strike.
And it was actually back-to-back bad calls.
Yeah.
And, you know, the umpire since has been suspended. And I know that's different because it was a Division I college baseball game, and that's on a different level. But I think it is very difficult. Like, I've talked to umpire supervisors who've come through here, and as accurate as our guys are in the Texas League, which is Double A, it's not the big leagues, they're still accurate 99.2% of the time.
Which is incredible.
Which is incredible when you really take a step back. Like, I know what you do for a living. You know what I do for a living. I don't think I do everything 99.2% correct.
That's because you don't know me very well there, Tim.
I hope you do. But no, it's hard to do that. But they do a pretty good job. But I'm also giving them, if the tools are there and if the equipment's ready to roll, I think I'm almost, I know it's not quite 100% ready yet.
Sure.
And that's why you don't see it at the big league level.
Yep.
Took a while for tennis to adopt it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, and obviously football has the chip in the ball.
Mm-hmm.
That they do for try to break the group. No, but obviously they don't use it. They use it for data collecting.
Correct.
It's not quite right yet.
Yeah.
And I think baseball's in the same boat.
But I will go against you on the shift. I will definitely go against you on the shift on this one. And the biggest thing is, and this is just my argument, especially with big leaguers, especially with the Major League Baseball player guys. If I'm paying you millions of dollars and you mean to tell me you can't hit the ball the other way to get on base, I mean, it's wide open.
It's wide open.
Wide open, dude. Just hit it that direction. If you can't do it and I'm paying you this much money, I don't think you need to be in the game.
Yeah.
And I think they should be able to. And the funny thing is the rule is currently right now is that the infield can't shift.
Right.
So what they are now doing, which I think is that they just beat the rule. They take the left fielder, move him over to center. They take the center fielder, move him to exactly where that second baseman was out in the grass, and then leave right field right behind him. So
1 year ago when we were in spring training and we knew what the new rules were for Texas League Baseball, the wind surge or whatever, they said that at the midway point of the season that they possibly could put in an outfield shift rule. So I actually heard it said when I was in Fort Myers that it was actually written and composed, ready to go. And I don't know who's, somebody with Major League Baseball had already said at the midway point of the mark, depending on, you know, statistics and data, that they could trigger it. They elected not to.
Thank goodness.
Because I think they felt like it was already a little bit too much.
Sure.
And I'll be interested to see if it happens in the big leagues this
year. Please don't.
You know, cause there's gonna be a lot more going on. The big leagues is more strategic.
I'm sure. Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot more going on.
But I do. I hope they just leave it alone. Okay, if you don't want to move the infielders, fine. But leave the outfielders where they want. Those are my people. Those are my position. We think differently than everybody else.
And you and I both know, like, if when the infield's completely shifted, if they lay down a bunt,
yeah,
you're going to get a base hit. If you're moving the left fielder to right center field and there's all that space, yeah, and I pull one down the line, could be an inside park
home run. It could be.
You have a lot on the line.
Sure.
By pulling outfielders completely out of space.
Yeah.
I mean, even if I'm
a routine fly ball may be
a double.
A double.
And if it's somebody with speed,
yeah,
it's
yeah,
a triple.
Exactly. And so it's like, come on, leave this one alone. Just leave this alone. But I'm really excited. I know that there's going to be a lot of things that come out for the fans, especially for WinSurge fans out at the ballpark this year.
We got Tumba Vacas is back. Yep. Turbo Tubbs is back. For all you nostalgia folks, if you didn't see the promo schedule, there's a game where the WinSurge will wear the Wichita Wranglers uniform.
That's awesome. See, that's cool.
And what the best part about that story is, it's against the former Wichita Wranglers.
Oh, no way.
Northwest Arkansas.
That's cool.
So it'll
cool.
be against the Royals affiliate.
That's
so
awesome. That's really neat.
Yeah, and we'll also have a Wichita Monrovians game, mm-hmm. which is part of the 9 program. And what if you hear the 9, Jackie Robinson's jersey number 42 in the big leagues is retired.
Yeah.
His minor league number is 9.
So oh, cool.
They salute that at the minor league level. So we're trying to do, some things with that. And that's still a work in progress. It'll be in August. But certainly we're just trying to work in some more culture and
oh, sure.
and just work in a lot of different things at the ballpark.
Yeah, and I'm sure there's going to be other nights, fun nights, theme nights, stuff like that that's going to come. And you're going to get to know if you follow the WinSurge on Facebook or Instagram or wherever you get it, you're going to be the first one to know.
Yeah, definitely check out all the social media platforms. And of course, thanks for joining us here on the pod.
Absolutely. And tell people about the podcast, especially if they're WinSurge fans. If you're a big WinSurge fan and you know somebody else that is, let them know. This is where you get literally from the horse's mouth, the guy, the voice. Of the WinSurge, Tim Grubbs. And thanks for coming over, man. I really do appreciate this. I'm excited for the new season. And then we'll obviously have episodes as we normally do throughout the season, more frequent than they have been over the offseason, obviously.
We just didn't have a whole lot to talk about.
We just didn't. I mean, come on. What are you going to talk about? I don't want to talk about football trades or anything like
that. That's not our thing. You and I will talk about that off air. But I don't know. I mean, I'm a Steelers fan. You're a Lions fan. Yeah, I don't know how much people want to hear about thoughts on the free agent market.
Absolutely. Who cares? We don't know enough about it anyway.
No, we don't.
But anyways, but again, thank you guys all very, very much. Thank you, Tim Grubbs, again, for coming back and doing this great podcast with me. Guys, thank you so much. We will see you next time. And as always, surge up.